Good morning, everyone. Oh, wakey, wakey, there you all are. Welcome to our time of worship this morning here at Desborough Baptist Church. Welcome if you're with us. Welcome those who are on Zoom. And I pray that even if you're tuning in at a later date, that our time of worship will be a blessing to you this morning. Let us just take a moment to go over a few notices. You will obviously notice that the meeting room is in a massive state of flux. And if you're wondering, like we did as a leadership team in the middle of the week, how's that lot all going in that room over there? Yes, quite. But Caroline assures me it all fits perfectly. So obviously there'll be no tea and coffee after the service this morning. Also, I've been asked to remind those group leaders that we're going to meet before the service next week and get a sort of training session on the new kitchen, that is not unfortunately going to be able to take place. So I think Annalisa will be contacting those group leaders at some point during the week to update them as to when we're going to be able to do that. And at this minute in time, I'm not even sure whether there'll be a kitchen for next week. You're right, nodding. Yes, you're shaking your head. So that looks like there won't be any tea and coffee next week either, unfortunately. We are beginning our evening services this Sunday. So many of you know we've been doing a Living In series, and Simon is going to take the evening service for us tonight, and he's going to be finishing off the last of the Living In series, Living In Faith. So do come out and enjoy that time of worship with us. It'll also be a communion service. So we have all some more exciting news for you. I've got two bits of exciting news. The first one is Easter is nearly upon us. Spring Harvest is going live this year all the way through the week. And so what we've decided to do is we've picked some of the Spring Harvest live events to stream in the building on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. I'm not sure whether it's on a Thursday morning. What we're going to do is at 10 past 10 in the morning, they have an hour-long Bible study. So if you want to, that's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that's Tuesday the 14th. So that's Easter week. You can come in here, join us. We'll be joining them live, streaming on the screen. In the evening, if you feel like something a bit more lively, come and join us at 8:30 in the evenings. That's the Tuesday and the Wednesday evening, and we will be joining them in their live worship. I think that'll be a great time of fellowship together, and just come and enjoy being together as fellowship for us, but joining them in fellowship as well, and see what they're doing with the young people. So it's all about the young people, and encourage them, and maybe we'll get inspired with some of the things they're doing as to what we do with our youngsters as well. So do join us for that. And finally, it's my great pleasure to welcome Sheila Armstrong and Philip Rice here this morning. They've come. Sheila is from Torch Trust, and she's going to talk to us this morning all about what the Torch Trust do. They are one of our chosen, it's our chosen home charity for this year that we've been supporting. And the kids were selling all those cakes and other fantastic things in the back room a few weeks ago, and that was raising money for Torch Trust and for Open Doors. So I'm really looking, thank you so much guys for being here. We're really looking forward to hearing all that you've got for us this morning. So let us bring our hearts and minds before God in prayer, preparing ourselves for worship. Lord Jesus, we have gathered here in your name. We've come from our busy, messy, broken lives, and we're seeking you. Lord, we need your strength, for we seek to do your good will, but our desire to do good is weak and it fails us. Put your strength in us, Lord Jesus, to be disciplined, courageous, and resilient against our fears and temptations, for they lead us away from your good and pleasing will and towards our selfish pleasures. Help us to encounter you this morning, Lord. Bless our time of worship and grant us willing ears to hear, open hearts to receive, and a passion to worship in the Spirit. Help us to overcome our fears, anxieties, and distresses anything, Lord, that stands between us and your perfect love this morning. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So our first hymn this morning, we come before God and you don't need to bring anything with you because Jesus accepts you just as you are. So we come before the throne of God just as we are, empty-handed. Let us stand and sing. Ooh. Good and gracious King. Let's stand and sing.
Sing to you.
everyone. I picked a short passage for you this morning to talk to you about just for a few moments. It's in Matthew's Gospel, it's chapter 25. And this is Jesus, and he's been talking to the disciples, he's been giving the Pharisees a really good ticking off in the chapter before this about their hypocrisy, and he's trying to explain to the people a little bit about what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like, but it's deeper than that. So let me just read this to you, because this is what Jesus said. He says, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." And then those sheep. Now, in this context, yeah, we are the sheep, okay? These are, Jesus is often described as the good shepherd, and those that follow Jesus as the sheep, that's Christians today and the disciples in Jesus' time, so we are the sheep. So it says, then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And then King Jesus is going to say this, "I tell you the solemn truth, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Jesus is describing the day of judgment, okay? And he's doing that by describing the kind of people he wants you and me to be. He's also describing the kind of church he wants us to be. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, these were people, by the way, that were in Jewish times that were given the responsibility of teaching people about God and about the laws of Moses and so on. So these Pharisees and religious leaders that Jesus so often tells off in the Bible, they were so focused on people's sin that they stopped seeing the person. For them, it was all about following the rules. Who here hates the rules? It's not just me. John, I could have guaranteed you to put your hand up when you said that. Come on, let's be, we're honest. When the rules don't suit us, we don't like them, do we? But the Pharisees were all about following the rules. Have you been good enough? If they decided that you had not been a good person in those days, what did they do? Well, you were thrown out. They labeled you a sinner, and you were no longer welcome in the synagogue. That's their church, okay? You're not welcome in their church. Stay out. Those people the Pharisees turned away were then, other people were then told that they got to ignore them too. So they had to be shunned. They were told they were worthless. And they kind of hung the people's sin around their necks, the naughty things that they'd done, around their necks like a big, heavy weight. They made the people feel dirty and shameful and worthless. So the people then would go away and just leave them alone. And that's what they wanted. After all, who wants to be where you're not wanted? I'm sure at some point, okay, who of you have experienced being somewhere and thought, "I'm not wanted here, I'm going"? Yeah, you see, it's a common feeling, isn't it? And that's what they did. No one wants to be where they're not wanted. But that's not what Jesus did, was it? Jesus went round town to town. He found these people who had been rejected, they'd been overlooked, and they'd been ignored. And what did he do? He loved them. He loved them. He cared for them. He welcomed them. He accepted them. He brought them hope. This is what Jesus wants his church to look like. Who's Jesus' church? I'm obviously going to have to tell you, because you clearly don't know who Jesus Church is, do you? We're Jesus Church. His people, we're his church, not this bricks and mortar. We, the people, are Jesus Church. Yes, and that's what he wants us to look like. He wants us to go out and look for those people that have been overlooked, rejected, ignored, and shamed in our society. He wants us to welcome them, to care for their needs, to show them who Jesus is by the way in which we love them. So are you ready? No, clearly not. Are you ready to go and do that? Do you want to go and do that? Yes, good. That's why Jesus says, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it for me. Because Jesus wants us to show his love to those people that are often rejected. I have a phrase, people in our society are thrown away as easily as McDonald's cups. Happens all the time. So if Jesus was peeking through our new double glazed windows this morning, yeah, what would he see? What would he find? Would he find us feeding the hungry, giving life to the thirsty? Would he find us giving shelter to those people who need it most? I wonder. Would he care us, find us looking after one another, looking after everyone? Do we care for those people who cannot care for themselves? Do we welcome the people that we don't really like? If we are honest, and sometimes that's a tough one, if we're honest, we come across people all the time that we don't really like. But whether you like them or not is irrelevant. Are we really an inclusive church? It takes more than just opening those doors on a Sunday morning and saying everyone's welcome to come in. It takes an action of love. To truly love our neighbour as ourselves, the Bible tells us. And Jesus is calling each one of us, everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, to welcome everyone, not just with words, but to welcome them with our actions. I think it's good for us as a church, you know, to stop every now and again and think about how we are welcoming everyone. How are we available to help everyone of all ages find and follow Jesus? And yes, sometimes it will be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to be a real challenge. But we are all called to take part in this mission that God has in our world and here locally in Desborough. When we sing this next hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, the chorus says this: here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I want you to think about what that actually means. Do you really hold people in your heart? That is not an easy thing to do, but only through Christ can we do that. In a second, our young people are going to go to their time of Sunday social. And it's out the back here because of all the work that's being done. There's no electric up there at the moment. So it's going to be out the back, in the back room out here this morning. But let me just pray for the young people before they go. Father God, we thank you that we have young people in this church. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to reach those young hearts and minds. Share who you are with them, Lord, and that you use us to cultivate that young generation, Lord. I imagine some of them may even stand here where I am maybe many years from now, like I once did. So, Father God, we pray that you bless them this morning. Help them to meet you, to understand more about you. And I just pray for the leadership of the Sunday Social Group, Lord. Would you bless them with wisdom and knowledge to share your love with our young people, Lord. Thank you for them. And Father, also, I just want to lift up to you Spring Harvest and all the work that goes on there with young people, reaching people, making it exciting, making it relevant, making it current to those young people, Lord, helping to reach them where they are in a very complicated, busy, electronic world, Father God. So we lift Spring Harvest up to them, to you, Lord, and we just pray that you pour out your blessing upon it. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. So, young people, off you go to Sunday Social, and it's out the back here.
Lord, today as we consider how we, as the church, serve our communities, let us remember to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. With every encounter, he fills a need and offers comfort. He lends his hand because he is the one who makes all things new. Today, let us commit to serve and restore what life has damaged. May we value relationships so communities can be healed. Let's offer shelter and care so dignity and hope are restored. When we dedicate our lives to sacrificial service, light then drives out darkness. Justice and equality become treasured. Burdens are lifted together when they become too heavy for one. Character and integrity are encouraged and then born. Faith is reestablished to the lost and broken. And we all see with new eyes opportunities to serve like our Savior. Let's seek to honor God and do what He does. God makes all things new and promises restoration. Let's go into the world and serve our God and our communities with joy.
Good morning, I'm Philip Rice. I'll introduce myself properly in a moment, but for now we're going to have some prayers for others. And during our prayers, there is a response. At suitable intervals, I shall say the words, "The Lord has done great things for us." And the response is, "The Lord has done great things." So let's pray together. Lord of peace, we thank you for filling us with the joy of knowing you. We thank you for our homes, our safety, our privileges, our peace and our security. And so we pray for all those across the world, your created world, that do not have those things that we rely on and take for granted. We pray for the millions of refugees who have had to flee their homes in the Sudan as civil war continues and the true horror of brutality is normal. We pray for people whose homes in Gaza and the West Bank have been destroyed, who have nowhere to go, whose lives are filled with fear and darkness. We pray for the thousands of people in Myanmar who have lost their lives, and for the many more who are bereaved, homeless, and feeling hopeless. We pray for all the people of Ukraine who look for peace and justice in our ever-changing, confusing world. We pray that you, Lord, will do great things to comfort, heal, and bring peace. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. Lord of all good things, we hear the words of Jesus reminding his followers that in this fallen world there will always be the poor, We thank you for the things we have that make our lives good. So at this time of increased prices, costs and bills, we pray for all those who live with the daily struggle to find the money for food, for heating and water, and the other essentials of life. We pray for those children who live in poverty, who go to school hungry. We give thanks for the work of schools and other agencies that do all they can to help. We pray for those who need extra support through additional needs and disability, that help would be available and they would not feel left out or isolated. We pray for those who feel they are losing hope and have nowhere to turn. Show us what we can do to support and share the joy of faith in generous, practical ways to help those who despair, those who feel lost in an expensive and selfish world. Lord, you do great things, so please show us how we can do great things for you. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. Lord of all people, we thank you for the work of Torch Trust, for all who work to make life easier for those impacted by blindness or sight loss. We pray for their outreach to children with sight loss through the Hope for All project, for their Torch Together holidays, for their continuing work to make the scriptures and other Christian material available in Braille and large print across so many countries. And we pray that you will continue to bring forward volunteers so essential to all their work. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. Lord of salvation, we thank you that as we approach Easter, we think of your Son who came to save us and all people. We thank you that you do the great thing of knowing and loving each one of us, offering us forgiveness and hope of eternal life. We pray for those we know who are suffering loss, illness, or sadness, that they will have the strength to look to you for their help. We pray for those who are struggling on their journey of faith and reaching out, that you would take their hand and pull them onto safer ground. We pray that we would have the strength and the determination to put everything else aside that the world offers and focus on you. May our desires, our hopes and passion always look to you, so that we may know Jesus fully and serve others as he served. You've done great things, so we look for your greatness to renew us again. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We thank you that we are a diverse community. We thank you for the many gifts you have given us and pray that we will all, old and young, fit and unfit, be enabled to use the gifts you have given us to glorify you and to serve our community as you use us to build your kingdom in this place. All this we ask in the name of your precious Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now there's a hymn, and it's Take My Life and Let It Be, and it's number 624.
Thank you.
hello again. As I said before, my name's Philip Rice. Normally I worship at St. Giles Church along the way. I'd just like you to thank you for your kind invitation for Torch Trust to come along and talk to you this morning. And also to thank you for your generosity as a church for choosing Torch Trust for your outreach funding this year. It really is most generous, and my thanks come on behalf of Torch Trust. And Torch Trust is a Christian ministry that's been around for over 60 years, helping blind and partially sighted people. And I'm going to introduce Sheila here, Sheila Armstrong, who's going to do most of the talking, because I'm just recently appointed as a trustee of Torch Trust. It's a UK-wide charity, also working in Malawi and recently in other countries. Most of the trustees have a lifetime's experience of either sight loss or of Torch Trust. My experience extends for just over 3 years. I'm the exception, which is why I'm going to hand over to Sheila, because Sheila has a lifetime's experience of both sight loss and Torch Trust. So I'm going to hand over to her now, and then I'll come back in a couple of minutes. So there's just a little lectern there and the microphone straight ahead of you, Sheila.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I wondered how much she was going to say. You're not going to leave me anything, is he? Never mind. So I'll introduce myself. I'm from Scotland, as you might be able to detect, but I have been down here since 1976, so it might have worn off a bit. In fact, when I came down to work at Torch Trust in 1976, somebody said to me, look, if you don't slow down, nobody will understand you. So I've tried hard to slow down for the English. Yeah. So it wasn't my first introduction to Torch. It went back to when I was still at school. I left school in 1973, but the year before that, Torch was beginning to start up little local fellowship groups that we called them. So they were groups all around the country in different towns and cities and places where people could meet together, they could hear the gospel, and they could have fellowship with one another, and people would offer to drive people to places if they couldn't get there themselves, and all this kind of thing. So it has decreased. At our best, we had 150 groups. We're down to 30 now. Some of that was due to COVID, but others, you may have noticed that more people, you know, less people want to sort of go to meetings now and at separate groups like that. It's not as popular as it was in the 1970s. But it did a good job because, people could get together and they could learn from each other, maybe just life hacks, little tips and tricks, as well, of course, as worshipping the Lord and hearing the gospel. So I went along to the Edinburgh Torch Fellowship Group with some of my mates from school. There was about half a dozen of us, I think. And in that group were mostly elderly people. And so we thought, well, how can we serve them, you know? So I had become a Christian fairly recently at the age of about 16. I was searching. We had a house mother that was somebody who looked after us. I went to a boarding school for the blind in Edinburgh. That's how it was done in those days. There was none of this mainstream, that's the word I'm looking for. I was going to say normal, but there wasn't anything abnormal about our school, really. But mainstream schools with support workers, there was none of that. We were sent to boarding schools for the blind. Well, my parents by then lived in Inverness, so I only got home at the holidays. And that was my state from the age of 5, you know, until I left home, really, just going home for the holidays. And, of course, we didn't have mobile phones, social media, anything. I could phone my mum and dad most Sundays, and maybe not every Sunday, for about 10 minutes on a landline phone, long distance, as it was called in those days. We're going back a long way. I'm 70 now. So I found out about Torch, and what drew me to Torch was that I had been going to church, but everything seemed to be taped, and I couldn't really see a way in the church that I was going to where I could really serve the Lord. And I wanted to serve the Lord. I'd just become a Christian, and, you know, I really wanted to serve the Lord. And here were blind and sighted people working together to share the gospel with those who didn't know it. And I thought, well, this is great. This is something I can do. So the first task I was given was to give out Torch's literature. Now, they were already doing Braille, large print, not so much audio then, but audio began to take off as time went on. And a lot of it was done by hand, you know, because we didn't have computers. So a lot of it was done that way. And there was a lot of work and labour involved. So my job was to give out these books. So there were little books, maybe little tracts, how to have a quiet time, how to... One we had was called 7 Minutes with God. There were testimonies, fairly short testimonies that would have run to just little booklets that you could give out. We did Search the Scriptures, which was also in print. It was transcribed from print. A lot of the books we did were transcribed from print. There were devotionals. There was one that we had called The Vine and the Branches, and that was a thing on John chapter 15. So they were just little booklets and what have you. Well, I was very enthusiastic, maybe a bit too enthusiastic, and my idea was to get rid of all the books every time there was a meeting and then order some more. So I almost threw them at people. Well, not quite, but I was maybe a bit pushy, let's put it that way, about the books. Most of them were free. Some of them cost 15 pence, you know, in those days. We had changed over to decimal money by that time, so it was 15 pence. But really, you know, we weren't bothered. If somebody didn't have the money, they got the book anyway, so it didn't really matter. So I was delighted that I could serve the Lord in that way. And I left school, went on to further education. I went to Edinburgh University, and I carried on going to the Torch meeting, but I didn't have the same level of time to get involved, so maybe it was a bit of a relief that somebody wasn't throwing the books at people quite so much, but I did what I could to help. And I learned a lot about older blind people. Some of them had been blind all their lives. I should say that I've been blind all my life. I was born with a recessive gene that popped up, and the result of it was that my optic nerve and my retina didn't form properly. I can see light and dark, but I can't really see anything else. And this is the case. There's only about 5% of blind people that are completely blind without even light and dark. It might be hard to imagine. You might think they're in darkness, but they're not. They're not in anything. That might be really hard to imagine. It is hard. It's actually hard for me to imagine not having even darkness. So, you know, a lot of this sentimental stuff, I shouldn't say that because it's even in the Bible, about people walking in darkness. If somebody has no sight, like two artificial eyes, which is the case with some people, a few people, they don't even see darkness. So that is hard to understand, I know. But that's how it is. So most people have got a degree of sight, and most older people, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are people in this very church who have maybe got the start of macular degeneration. That's a very common one where the macula is damaged. They may have glaucoma where the pressure is getting a bit out of hand and it's pressing on the optic nerve and that's reducing their sight. Or they may have diabetes that is also damaging their eyes. And those are the sort of main causes really of blindness in older people. And I wouldn't be in the least surprised if somebody sitting here even just now has got either the start or knows that they've really got one of these things. And it's a completely different ballgame. I mean, I've had all my life, you know, 70 years to work out how I'm going to do things. But somebody losing their sight and not having that ability to know what's what, you know, they need a different kind of help. You know, So the big thing really is to find out where somebody is. So if there's only one word that I want you to remember, it's ask. Don't assume that you know what somebody would want, what kind of help somebody would want. Definitely ask. So Torch started up in its sort of current form. It really, in May 1931, the first Torch magazine was sent out, and that was a result. Cast your mind back to Upstairs, Downstairs, or Downton Abbey. But there were three ladies called the Trench Sisters. It seemed that they were spinsters. They didn't get married. And one of their footmen went blind. They had footmen. And it was up in Yorkshire. One of their footmen went blind. And they were concerned that how was he going to hear about the Lord Jesus? How was he going to read the gospel? So he learned Braille, and they set about learning Braille, and they started producing the Torch magazine. And that's really how it started. The first one went out in May 1931. And they just heard about different blind people, started sending it. It got known somehow overseas. They were obviously a well-to-do family, so they no doubt had contacts in different countries even. By May 1959, there was only one Trench sister left. And if she hadn't had the foresight to try and hand it over to somebody, Torch would have probably just gone into oblivion. But the Lord didn't want that. And Mr. and Mrs. Heath agreed to take on the Brailing. They agreed to learn Braille and take on the production of that magazine. Their first one was May 1959, and that the month that issue went out, the last Miss Trench died. So the Lord, you know, sometimes we feel like he leaves things a bit tight. He definitely left that one quite tight. But it wasn't too tight because it went ahead. And they gradually, they met blind people in a, they were in Sussex, but they met blind people in a training college that was run. And one of them came to know the Lord Jesus. And from there on, they realised there was a need for blind people to know about the Lord Jesus. And the only literature they could find was the authorised version. There's nothing wrong with the authorised version, but the way the Braille was done made it hard for some of them to read. And of course, some of them were kind of, how can I say, they weren't brought up on Shakespeare, so they didn't really understand the AV. I don't want to be snobbish, but you know what I mean. They just, the Heaths set about looking for easier ways, easier translations of the Bible and literature that would explain what the Bible meant. And they started to take them along to their own fellowship, that their own church. And it grew from there, and it just got bigger and bigger. And in 1974, they moved up to Hallaton. It's a little village 9 miles from Market Harborough in Leicestershire. They got an old derelict house. That's how they could afford it. They did a lot of work, a lot of volunteers set to modernise it and pull out some very, very doubtful plumbing and put plumbing in, you know, that we could use. It had belonged to nuns. It had quite a history, that place. It had been a borstal at one time, then it belonged to nuns. And, it, you know, before it had been a country house, but, you know, that was a while ago. So anyway, we got this, and we gradually outgrew that. So in the year 2004, we moved to Market Harborough to offices. The fact was that Wi-Fi couldn't be put through these thick walls at the lovely house in Hallaton, because it wasn't built for that sort of thing. And there were a lot of expenses coming up that Torch couldn't justify as a charity. Like, for example, we had a lovely winter garden, but it was going to cost £20,000 to repair the roof. That kind of thing. So, you know, we had to stop living there. So we used to run holidays there, and we had another house in Sussex. But now the holidays, and they're called Torch Together, which I think Phil mentioned in his prayers, they are times in different parts of the country where blind and partially sighted people can come on a holiday, have fellowship, interact with each other, feel safe because we make sure there are enough people to guide everyone. I mean, if someone needs special care, they'd need to bring someone with them. But if they just need guiding around, they can feel safe that will be catered for, and they won't be left alone in a situation that they can't really cope with. So they can relax and enjoy the holiday. So Phil, the first time I got to know Phil is we went up to Scarborough. That was one of the places. There was a house there that we had a section of, and we had a lovely holiday there, and we got to know Phil and his wife, which was great. My husband and I, Robert, he's partially sighted, so we both went up there. So, you know, what does Torch do now? Well, of course, when we moved from Hallaton, it was quite a difference. We moved from being a community to being people that worked in an office, so we all had to find our own homes. I haven't time to tell you now, but it was very wonderful how the Lord provided in different ways for each one of us that had different needs, either to stay in Market Harbour or in some cases people moved on to do something else. They didn't stay with Torch. But it was according to what people needed, and it was wonderful to me how the Lord provided in so many different ways for all the people that needed to move out of Hallaton. So we probably got about 15 or 20 staff working actually for Torch now, and of course good old COVID came in, and that increased the amount, number of people that were working from home. It has been, I'd say, a mixed thing for Torch, in that it's good to have fellowship and learn from one another, but on the other hand, the fact that people can work at home has actually meant that we can take on some more visually impaired employees, which is really good. That's what we want to do, because they wouldn't necessarily... I mean, Market Harbour, maybe some of you know, is quite an expensive place, and you can't, as a blind person, say, ah, well, I'll just live in Desborough, because how are you going to get to work? You can't drive, you know what I mean? So it is difficult for people to start working as we're in Harbour. Whether we'll stay in Harbour, you know, in years to come, I'm not sure. But the Lord, you know, will guide us as he's guided us in the past. So the things that we do. Well, I suppose, Torch, I've mentioned the Bible. That's very important, of course. And we have the joy of producing the Bible in countries all around the world. And that came about... There was another charity called Compass Braille that started up, and it has joined with us. So we did actually produce Bibles in the past while we were at Hallaton for other countries, but the Lord has very graciously brought it back to us to be allowed to do it again. So that's really good. But one particular Bible I want to tell you about is a children's Bible. It's the children's Bible stories read by David Suchet. And we realise, although thankfully there aren't all that many blind children in the country, but they are in the thousands. There are some who unfortunately have got genes like I did, just popped up without anyone thinking about it, but it just happens. Or maybe other reasons why they've become blind. There are a few different reasons why a child might become blind. Not as many as there used to be, thankfully, in this country, but there are some. And These Bible stories, we've managed to get little lambs. Now, of course, the lamb, it resonates so much with Easter, doesn't it? And these lambs, inside them is a Bible that will play audio of David Suchet reading children's Bible stories. And they can set it off by pressing the feet, pressing the nose, pressing this, pressing that, or just cuddling the lamb. And out will come these wonderful Bible stories read by such a wonderful actor and Christian, David Suchet. So we're actively looking for blind children now who might want these little lambs with the Bible in them. And that is actually our CEO, Sarah Dawkins, is going to be on Sunday Morning Live next Sunday to show these lambs and tell people about them. So that's a wonderful opportunity that she's got there. So if you can record it or do catch up, go into iPlayer and listen to and watch that. That would be really good. So why are we here in your church? We have got a project called Sight Loss Friendly Church. And it's we're there to help churches not feel awkward about having blind and partially sighted people in the church. There are some things that can do now. For example, the first hymn you had was up on the screen, but I didn't know it, and it wasn't in my... I've got a little gadget here, It's actually a tablet, but it comes up in Braille. And of course, I didn't know we were singing that song, so I didn't get it. So it's things like that. How can somebody join in? They might be able to read large print. They might be able to start by seeing the screen, but the sight gradually drops down and they can't see it anymore. You know, all these things can happen. So it's not a criticism that I didn't know the first time, because I've got all the other ones that you're doing. But if somebody was here on a regular basis, that's something that would need to be thought about. Just really getting to know a person, asking them, what do you need? And also asking them, what can you give? Because as you can see, you know, I don't want to just sit in the congregation and have everything done for me. It's not how it is. And I was thinking of the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it's one of my favourite verses because it so brings me back to how I got involved in Torch. For we are God's workmanship. So, you know, he knew that we were going to be born blind or with other disabilities or something would happen that would make that happen. We're in a fallen world. Not everything is ideal. We're in this fallen world, but he knew what was going to happen. And we are his workmanship. We are made in his image, however we are. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So just as within the church, it's up to the leadership to try to identify what works people might be prepared for, and themselves as well, of course. It's not any different with somebody with a disability. They're going to be done in different ways. I can't drive somebody to church. I could never do that. I might not be quick enough at, washing up, or I can do it as long as there's not too much of a time limit. But, you know, there are things that one can do, and certainly we can pray. That's always a wonderful thing that's available to everyone. But there are lots of things. I know a blind person who's able to work the sound desk in his church. That wouldn't be an option for everyone, but it might be possible in some cases. So it's a question of finding out what people can do, asking them, getting to know them as people. I mean, that is really what we want. We just want to be accepted as real people, you know. We don't want to be the ones that everything has to be done for. Somebody starting to lose their sight will feel very scared and very vulnerable, and that has to be taken into account as well. But one of the reasons people don't tell you that they're losing their sight is they're afraid they'll be treated differently. And to be fair, it often does happen, so it's just something to look out for. So we're very, very grateful that you are giving us some financial help. We're really grateful for that. And next week, Phil's going to get some written material that will help you to pray for us and to know, to remind you what we're all about. I haven't covered everything. You know, we do a lot of things. We do books as well as Bibles, Christian books, and magazines. We do the Christianity, Premier Christianity. We do that magazine, audio and braille and large print. And we do, if a church is running a Bible study and there's somebody who needs braille or large print, we'll try and get the file from the publisher and produce it for them in a timely way before the thing's finished. So thanks to computers and thanks to modern ways of working, that wouldn't have been possible when I started work in 1976, but it is possible now. So thank you very much for listening, and thank you for everything you're doing. And it's a joy to be here. I'll hand back to Phil. I hope I haven't gone on too long. This is my guide dog, Peach, by the way.
Do you want to just sit down here?
Yeah. Yes, we will indeed, yeah. Thank you. All right, Peachy, good girl, come on.
What I've prepared and written down, I think various people have already said in different ways. But let me just start by saying I first got involved with Torch when St Giles decided to register as a sight loss friendly church, which you do on the Torch website. And I used my own email address to complete the registration, and I then received an invitation to attend a Torch Trust coffee morning, which they have on the third Thursday of every month at Torch House. And that was just starting up again after the COVID lockdown. And I thought, well, I don't mind going for a coffee morning in Market Harbour, and I did. And at the end of each coffee morning, we have a little time of worship and prayer. And one of the prayers we were asked to think about was to pray for volunteers for the Torch Together holidays. And I thought, I don't mind doing a holiday. And so I volunteered for a Torch Together holiday. So that was in my first Torch Together holiday. As Sheila said, that's where we first met in Scarborough. And I remember guiding Sheila along a nice little country walk down to the shore and back. And I've done 7 Torch holidays now. So in the last 3 years, and I'm looking forward to my next one in June this year in Poole in Dorset. Before going on the holiday and being let loose to guide people with sight loss, I had to receive some training, and part of that was learning about the different forms of sight loss. And I remember we had, the trainer gave us various glasses to wear which simulated different types of blindness. Some were really foggy, some just had a hole in the middle, some you could were black in the middle and you could only see around the outside, and obviously then we had complete blindfolds. And I remember my wife Caroline and I were given blindfolds, and we had to guide each other through the offices at Torch House and up and down the stairs. Only one of us was wearing the blindfold, by the way. But, and actually, the hardest part, I thought, was wearing the blindfold and putting total trust, even though it was my wife who was guiding me, putting my total trust in her when she said, right now, we're going down the stairs. It was terrifying. But, and the temptation to sort of peek out of one corner of the blindfold was very great, but we coped with it anyway. And but on the holiday, I discovered that the guests, none of whom I'd ever met before, got guests with sight loss, are very gifted people. And so often we say, oh, so-and-so won't be able to do that, so won't even ask. You know, they can sit over there and everybody else will do everything. People who are blind and have sight loss can do many things. And funnily enough, yesterday I was at a birthday party for my brother-in-law, and I met one of his friends who had just recently retired, but in his working life, his job... do you remember that programme, What's My Line? We had to guess what people's jobs are. This guy, his main speciality was producing prosthetic eyes. Okay? So obviously he came into contact with a lot of people who needed prosthetic eyes. And he told me about one character who lost his sight in some violent conflict. But the thing that interested me about the story was that he had recently tiled his mother's roof. I have no idea how, but he had completely lost his sight and he tiled his mother's roof. He couldn't see the drops, so it didn't frighten him, I suppose. He'd also tiled her bathroom, but with different tiles, presumably. But, people can do what you wouldn't believe, the things that blind people can do. And The one thing I really wanted to encourage you to do is think about Sight Loss Friendly Church. And I went on the other day just to check, and if you go onto the website and click on churches, and you find Sight Loss Friendly Church, and there's a bit where you can see where is the nearest Sight Loss Friendly Church. And when I put my postcode in, it came up at the top of the list with St. Giles Church, Desborough. And I was quite impressed that we were top of the list, and third on the list was Torch House in Market Harbour. But then I realised it was all done on distance, the distance from the postcode you put in, so it was fairly obvious. I was really impressed to start with, but there you are. Actually I thought about it, if Desborough Baptist Church registered as a Sight Loss Friendly Church, I think they would come top of the list on my postcode, because I think it's actually nearer. But I would encourage you to do that, because if you go on and it's ever so easy to do, there are no the only qualification is a desire to be friendly to people with sight loss. And then you register, and then that opens up and gives you access to all sorts of help, training, and access to resources and all the information that you need to become more and more sight loss friendly. So I would encourage you to do that. Let me go back to my script if I can find it. Matt was talking about people feeling as if they weren't wanted, and that's how people with sight loss are sometimes treated. And I know you don't want to be the people who do that, and Matt has encouraged you not to be the people who do that. The little bit of scripture I noted down was from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he talks about the body of Christ. We all know that analogy that he draws with the human body and the body of Christ as being the church. And he says, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God gives us all gifts, which are just the gifts that he wants us to have. And Sheila is very gifted, and as are a lot of other blind and partially sighted people. And it's up to us to enable them to use their gifts just as God wants them to do. So I'm sure that Desborough Baptist Church wants to be sight loss friendly, and as I say, that desire is the only qualification you need. Just go on and register, and that gives you access to all the resources you need. Thank you.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming along and sharing your stories and telling us about the work that Torch Trust does. Thank you very much. Just show our appreciation for them. Thank you. We're going to finish our time of worship now with a hymn called When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way, When Sorrows Like Sea Billows Roll, Whatever My Lot, Thou Hast Taught Me to Say, it is well with my soul. Take it away, Brian.
Thank you.
Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him, and all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week, folks.